Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
We're back here on Caroline Willie and D Mace on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Just heard from DeAndre Hopkins, his first press conference as a member of the Tennessee Titans. Just officially signed yesterday. Times up very well with our weekly visit with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. So a lot to unpack and delve into with some of the comments from DeAndre Hopkins. And Tim, let's start with the one that you have discussed with us throughout, and that is the relationship between a receiver coming to a new team, how the process works, all of the different things. There is some familiarity, and there's no question that his respect for Mike Vrabel definitely played a big part in him being interested in coming to Tennessee.
Yeah, I think for most players, like, the relationship matters, and you know, working with somebody in the past can impact that. And I think that it's easily fair to say that many players, and I think some of it has to do with his playing career, but like many players have a lot of respect for Mike Vrabel, how he coaches, how he communicates with players. And so I think that that reputation does help a team as they're trying to sign somebody. And then, you know, in terms of the relationship with, you know, a quarterback. So here we are in, you know, late July. You know, you don't have a ton of time, but there is time to start to get together. Guys will do it on their own, I'm sure, when they can. There'll be time spent after practice, and you just kind of hope that, you know, a new receiver and a quarterback that's been here will start to, you know, kind of see things the same way. So, yeah, I think that that's you know, it's kind of the spot that the Titans are in, and it's a really important one as you look at signing a receiver that probably projects to be, you know, their top receiver this season.
He certainly sounded very confident that he could be a top receiver this year. And to take it a step further, something we heard from DeAndre Hopkins, Tim, he said when he came to Nashville, he was impressed. He was asked about the relationship with Tannehill building that. He said it starts off the field, and he made note that Tannehill and his wife met him, and they spent some time together during the, I guess let's call it the recruiting trip. But yeah, you could tell that he emphasized that. He thought that was important, making the extra effort to come out and try to start forming that bond.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt that that's the case. And I think that, you know, whether it's, you know, Ryan or anyone else, it's one of the reasons why when people talk about, like, or, hey, this guy's the quarterback here, but where does he live? Like, where does he spend the majority of his time? And, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, you know, Drew Brees spent every second of the offseason in New Orleans, because he didn't. You know, he'd be in San Diego. But when you can be around and be visible, it helps. It helps clearly with the perception, but it also helps with, hey, someone's coming in town, could you come over? Or just how invested it feels for the fan base. So, look, I think it's important that Ryan was around and in town, and, you know, the fact that, you know, a player comes in, it's like, oh, wait, so the quarterback, you know, he didn't have to be here. No one can make him be here, came over and made it a priority. Like, that should matter. It sounds like it did.
And we're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, Now that everything has been sort of settled, you know, with the roster as we sit now, now things can change and they will change throughout training camp. Where does this realistically at this point put the Tennessee Titans?
I mean, look, as you look at the AFC, like, I don't think it puts them in the top tier of the AFC. I mean, like, listen, would we agree that Kansas City and probably, you know, the Chargers, you know, probably have a better roster? You know, would we, you know, say that Cincinnati, maybe Baltimore have a better roster? Or do we think that Miami and Buffalo, New York Jets have better rosters? So, you know, I do believe that, like, if you just were to look at it and say, all right, you know, personnel execs around the league, you know, you can start picking players, you know, from these teams. Look, I don't think that the Titans would be considered a top-tier team. You know, I don't – wherever we kind of set the, you know, the tier lines. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have a successful season, you're not going to make the playoffs. Look, Cleveland had a super talented football team, and they haven't won as much as they would have liked to win. So, you know – like, so to answer your question, D-Mace, like, do I think they're one of the five most talented teams just by going up and down their roster? No, I don't. But I think they've got a good coach. I think they've got a good quarterback. I think the defense plays really hard. I think they've got good leadership. I think they have a chance.
Now, do you still think it's all predicated on how well the offensive line gels? Mm-hmm. I think they will be much better than they were last year, just because of the experience of, you know, Nicholas, though he's gone for six games, and the experience of some of these other younger guys. But do you think it's all basically it's going to boil down to whether the offensive line is as good as they – well, is better than they were last season?
Yeah, I mean, look, as much as, you know, we talk about quarterbacks and receivers and all of that stuff, and it's just I've fallen in the trap as well. Like, when you win up front, like, everyone else is better. And look at the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, that was a dominant offensive line. And really, they were excellent on, you know, both offense and defensive lines. You know, you go back to, like, when the Rams were really rolling, look, they were playing well up front on both sides of the ball. So, like, do I think they can be better? Yeah. I feel like the Titans have really struggled with just people being consistently healthy and available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think if you get to a point where, you know, you're starting the same five guys on a consistent basis, even if it's guys that are inexperienced and, you know, kind of learning on the fly, I think you're better off with that than you are with, hey, this guy might be okay. You know, this guy's on the pup for, you know, a little bit. This guy, you know, is out for a few weeks. We signed somebody off the practice squad, added somebody off the street. I think when you're doing that, it's nearly impossible to be good up front.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, do you have time to stick with us for a couple more minutes after on the other side?
Yeah, hey, only because D Mace is there today, Willie. Like, you know, I figured summertime, right before camp, I figured he'd be out, but since he's in, I'm in.
Okay.
Hey,
so
I
the
gotta
extra
be here.
Effort by D Mace was the game. It's not. It wasn't like, well, if it was just Willie asking, I wouldn't do it. No. But because D Mace is there, so it's more about
Caroline,
D Mace's extra.
Caroline, yeah, like Caroline out was like, I don't know that I will, but like D Mace is there. You know what I mean?
Yes, I see. I see, because it all came into question when Caroline was out.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my share of you at like baseball fields and turkey trots. Stuff. So, like,
right.
I
see. Okay, I'm not offended. I'll get over it. It's okay.
So Willie's
Tim
a team player.
We'll stick with us for some bonus time on the other side here. Opening day of Titans training camp. DeAndre Hopkins taking the podium. Lots of Titans issues to delve into. It is game on. Stay tuned. More with Tim in a moment here on 102.5 The Game.
Back at you, Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace. We got Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, on the phone with us. Now, Tim, Saquon Barkley end up signing his one-year deal. Not a franchise tag, but just a contract for a one-year guaranteed $11 million, I think, he gets a million incentives. Was that the right move for him? And if it was, do you think he was backed in a corner or he had no other moves in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this feels to me anyhow like, you know, the team wanting to, you know, do whatever they could to make the player happy at the same time, like, not going just wildly outside of what the market is dictating, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, he didn't want to sign the – it didn't sound like he was going to report maybe on the tag. And so it's like, hey, what if we do something that's better for you when you know that we actually don't even have to? You know, what if we do that? Then will you – you know, come and be happy and that type of thing. I mean, that's what this situation feels like to me, which, look, I think is what good organizations do, right? Like, you don't get run by the player that says, like, hey, I'm not showing up if you don't, you know, reset the market with this contract that you give me when no one else would give me that contract. But you find a way to say, all right, we get that you're not thrilled about this, but, like, you know, we're also not going to do bad business. So, like, how can we meet somewhere to, you know, to make this a little less painful for you? And that's what I feel like the Giants did, and I think that's what good organizations do.
Now, what does this mean for a guy like Jacobs, who left Las Vegas, said he wasn't going to report anytime soon, but that was before Saquon had signed. Now that Saquon has signed, it sort of puts Jacob on his island by himself, in a sense.
Yeah, which, and you know this, D-Mace, a lot of times why guys won't do deals that, you know, aren't necessarily amazing, you know, deals, because they don't want to look around at their peers and have them be like, hey, man, like, why'd you do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, why'd you sign a deal that wasn't a great deal? Look, I think what this does is, look, I think it at least sets expectations for some of these backs of, like, what is realistic, you know, and what is potentially out there for you. And, look, if I were Josh Jacobs, rather than, you know, threatening to hold out or you know, not show up and get fined and all those things, I would use what Saquon did as a roadmap. Listen, like do right by me. Like, I'll be there, but, like, let's don't tag me. And, like, let's do a 1-year deal like his deal. Like, you know, I think you try to, you know, you try to do that. Otherwise, you know, your best move is to just play on the tag and then figure it out a year from now. I mean, that just ultimately is your best move as a running back.
Now, does that mean, in this situation, because we don't know the particulars or the language of Saquon Barkley's contract, but it still doesn't exclude him from possibly being franchised again next year. So how do you, as a running back, how do you sort of reconcile all of that?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's just the situation that you're in. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you realize that. That's why when guys are holding out and I'm like, well, wait a second, like, the team can tag you, and then, I mean, honestly, if, like, the running back number keeps going down, mm-hmm. right, if guys aren't getting, you know, these big deals, then they just tag you again. So, I mean, look, I just think it's the nature of the business. I don't know that anything's going to change about it. I know we talked last week about, you know, this conference call, these guys getting together and figuring out what they can do. I mean, the reality is it is a position where wear and tear is different than other spots. And because of it, look, the money is not going to be the same. It's just because it's the long-term money. And it's why, really, you'd rather be a running back that doesn't get drafted in the first round. I mean, that's ultimately probably how you should end up feeling about it.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, and training camp's opening up around the league. His thoughts on the running backs. Let's circle back to the Titans here. Another thing that I thought was interesting, DeAndre Hopkins did say that he has picked up some new training habits. He got a new guy to help him. Now, last year he said he was hindered some by the lingering effects of his injury, so he said he had a full off season this past season. I thought that was worth noting, because I think that's going to be important, right? When you get into your 30s, you have to really be pushing it to stay in the shape that you need to be in, to stay at the level that he's used to.
Yeah, I mean, and anyone who's watched the quarterback series on Netflix, like, you see what quarterbacks are investing in terms of taking care of themselves. And I thought Kirk Cousins is on there talking about how, look, Santana Moss, who was a receiver who was older, further along in his career, Kirk got to see that and say, wow, like, that's what you need to do. So, yeah, I think that is a real thing, especially coming off of an injury, seeing how other guys have done it, seeing what you can do to stay healthy. And look, let's face it, like, the last couple of years for Hopkins between, look, suspension and injury, because, the other side of this is whatever he ended up testing positive for that led to a suspension. Like, look, you got to make sure that's not part of it as well. So, look, I think that's a good thing to hear. I've definitely seen guys extend their career or continue to play at a high level, and I think a lot of it had to do with, how much care, effort, and quite honestly, like, finances they put into how they were taking care of their bodies.
Yeah, you have to invest in yourself. I guess that is a big part of it, without a doubt. I think that is important that he did that. So, Tim, here's another one that I thought jumped out at me. He said, the practice thing, he said, I don't think you can have the kind of numbers I've had without practicing. So he thinks that the practice reputation of, not being out there all the time is overblown.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. I think you just hear from guys that have played with him in the past. How does he practice? And look, some guys don't like running in practice. That's just the reality of it. Like, some guys don't love running in practice, especially as they get older. Like, D. Mace can vouch for it. Like, everybody has seen those guys. Some guys, they are that way. And look, and some guys are just really good players and have had a lot of things revolve around them. And when, Sunday rolls around and the ball gets thrown in that direction, they play the football. My personal understanding with him is he's always been a great player that's done an amazing job at tracking the football. I from guys that have been around him, no one has ever said like he's Jerry Rice on practice. I practiced it. Like, it's just not – look, and that's okay. Like, not everybody is, but look, I think when things don't go well and it's like, well, hey, man, like, he hasn't really been available for a Wednesday practice for four straight weeks, like, that can become a problem.
D-Mace, any final question for Tim before we let him go?
No, just go green.
Hey, go white.
There we go.
He was a little late. There was a little hitch there, D-Mace. We got to work that out, okay?
I want to know, D-Mace, like, what would people have said about D-Mace when he was, like, in his 30s at receiver? Like, we're like, man, like, he'd run a go round. He'd be the first guy back in the huddle. What would they say about D-Mace?
One thing they would say is that he always practiced, even with a broken scapula, a bad knee, a high ankle sprain. That kid was out there practicing every day.
I did hear that. That is fair. So, that is very fair.
So,
and it always is remarkable to me when I would come across a receiver that didn't like running. I was like, this is part of the job.
Exactly. We get paid to catch the ball and run. So we should be the best conditioned athletes out there.
So true.
All right. Well, Tim, great stuff. Let's have no hitches on the go green, go white next week. We're going to keep working on this. By the time football season gets cranking in September, you're going to have this down.
I'm improving. All right. See you, fellas.
All right.
Okay. Tim Hasselbeck joining us here on the show. We're going to get D-Mace's thoughts on some of the details of what DeAndre Hopkins said. He addressed the issues. Mm-hmm. What took so long? What about practice? What about relationships with Mike Vrabel? A lot to analyze, and we will do that just on the other side. Stay tuned. We're cranking it up here on the first day of training camp on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.